Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here's Tony D.
Good morning. Everybody kind of slow down a little bit from the July 4th weekend. If you went on vacation and you're getting back into the grind of things, glad to be with us on SB Nation AM. I got a lot to get to, but I want to make this very, very clear right from the start. I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy when it comes to sports. I am, but I'm not a huge optimist sometimes either. I'm willing to say at times that things are not going to go particularly well for a particular team or that coaching hire is not going to be good. But I'm also very much a wait-and-see kind of person. I'm more of a guy that says, we'll see. When everybody's screaming on the top of the mountain, this is going to be disastrous or this is bad or no one's going to watch, I'm more or less the guy goes, we'll see. Oh, you don't like that signing? We'll see. You don't like that coaching hire? We'll see. Now, the reason I bring this up is because the entire week that we had with LeBron James going to the LA Lakers and then Boogie Cousins signing with Golden State, there was this feeling that was kind of hanging over a lot of NBA fans that this is bad. This NBA is bad now. I don't like this. I don't like this whole Western Conference shift now. I don't like Golden State getting even stronger than they were. I don't know if I'll even watch now. Well, let me tell you something right now. I grew up in the 1980s, right? I grew up in an era where there were stars all over the landscape of the NBA, right? Isaiah in Detroit, Dominique Wilkins in Atlanta, Bernard King with the Knicks, Dr. J in Philadelphia, the Twin Towers in Houston. I grew up with stars around the league, kind of all over. But there were two cornerstones. There was Boston and Los Angeles. And they pretty much dominated the 1980s. So I'm not ready quite yet to start saying that this league is in trouble because of what this sort of personality shift or personnel shift that we start seeing in this league. Player goes over here. They create Super Team X over here. I'm not ready to buy it, but I do have a larger question about LeBron James leaving and going off to the Lakers in a rather quiet way that I want to get to. It's Tony D. Ron Culver alongside as well. This is SB Nation AM. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D. Radio, 800-777-2907. Coming up, we're talking a little bit of legacy here on the decision last week to go to Los Angeles for LeBron.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Tony D.
It is amazing to me how quiet the whole LeBron James to Los Angeles went. And if you're LeBron, this is exactly how you would want it to go down. So it was about a week ago. It was a Sunday night when it was announced that LeBron was going to sign this deal with the Lakers. And then he disappears. He goes away. He leaves the country. And then everybody sort of contemplates what this is going to mean. And, he did his job in Cleveland and he got them the title and promises kept. And he certainly can do what he wants now. And then the Golden State Warriors go, hold on one second. We're going to bring in DeMarcus Cousins. And now we're going to have all-stars all over the place on our team. And we, by the way, just won the championship. So just pay attention a little bit more to us. But overall, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, you go all the way back to the decision back in summer of 2010. So we're talking 8 years ago, right? And you think about how that was set up. It's almost laughable now, isn't it? I mean, think about how serious everybody was about this whole, he's going to be on TV and we're going to do a show around it. And Jim Gray is going to talk to him. And he's going to announce where he's going to go. And LeBron's kind of sitting there and he's masking the whole thing as this charity for the Boys and Girls Club. And he's all excited and he's just kind of like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach and we're all breaking down. All right, no, he's going to the Heat, but why did he say it that way? And what does this mean? And is he angry at Cleveland? And he didn't even mention him by name and he didn't even thank him. And all right. So then a couple of years later, he goes from Miami to Cleveland and it's this letter, right? This elegant piece, right? Talking about unfinished business and where I'm from and the blue collar nature of Northeast Ohio. And I've got to go back and this championship, and this is my mission. And I'm going to go do that. And right? So we read the letter and we start breaking down all the words to that too, right? What does he mean? Is this a shot at Pat Riley? Is this a shot at someone else? Is he not forgiving Dan Gilbert for that email in the middle of the night? So he got all of this analysis. And here we are, 8 years removed from the decision, and it's, LeBron James is going to sign with the Lakers, and then he's going to go off. Now, yes, we did sort of break this down over the week. What does it mean? You know, what's it going to mean for the Western Conference? But it really, to be honest with you, didn't take long before the shift in the attention in the NBA was back on the heels of the champions of Golden State for their signing. But as I said earlier, I don't think this is a doom and gloom scenario that a lot of people want to make it out to be. Like, all the power is in the West. I remember when all the power was in the West. It wasn't that long ago that a lot of the power was in the West. Right, there was a time where 50 wins would barely get you in, back in probably 2006, 2007. Right, it feels different because Golden State was strong and got stronger, and now here's LeBron and the Lakers, and they're going to be a factor. And Houston was just a Chris Paul injury away from probably going to the NBA Finals, and there's a lot more juice on that side rather than there is in the East. The East was always about LeBron James and everybody else that was trying to knock LeBron James out. But now instead the East is, all right, it's going to be Boston, Philadelphia is up and coming, but really, if you're an East Coast guy that can stay up late, the NBA package for the Western Conference games now just got a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. And that's really it. But Nate, make no mistake. Look, I know people like that. They hate this idea of, all right, people, they're all moving around. Everyone wants to come together. There's all these talk about teams formulating super teams and trying to sign guys and trying to get space enough to sign other guys. Look, as I said earlier, I remember when there was talented guys kind of scattered around the NBA in the 80s, but in the end, it was still a Boston versus LA league with Houston kind of thrown in the middle, and every now and then Philadelphia would win, and then the Pistons took care of it on the back end of the decade. But for the most part, the 80s were defined by Boston and Los Angeles, no matter how much talent was floating around both conferences. And it was not only fine then, it was thriving then. To me, sometimes you don't need this sort of competitive balance and all. You don't necessarily need that. What you need is a sports league. You need compelling stories. What you need is a compelling narrative, something to sort of cause a buzz. Right? I mean, look, you may not like LeBron kind of going to Los Angeles. You may wish he stayed in Cleveland to sort of continue along the reason he went back in the first place, right? But the reality of it is there is some questions here. There's some issues here, right? There's going to be a conversation about what does this actually mean? What does he do for the brand? What does he do for the franchise? Look, remember, go back a few years ago, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember, 2013, maybe 14. Remember when courting Dwight Howard was a thing? Remember when everybody was courting Dwight Howard? And Kobe made his pitch for him to stay in Los Angeles. And it was very simple and it was direct. And reports were that all Kobe said was, look, we're the Lakers. We're not going to be down for very long. We're not a franchise that mires itself in the basement. We're going to be good again. And if you want to be part of that, then you'll stay. And of course, he doesn't stay, ends up going to Houston. But nevertheless, that was Kobe's pitch because he knew the brand was strong. All right. The Laker brand is very strong. And now LeBron James is part of it. I think that's some interesting, it's going to make next season interesting, whether he's successful there or not, whether Golden State dominates again or not. I still think there's a really good conversation there. Not to sort of put down the Cavaliers in any way, but for me, outside of Northeast Ohio, the thing I cared about the most in LeBron going back to Cleveland was, can he get them a championship? And since he did that, to me, the narrative of winning another one there, whatever, it's not as compelling as him going off to Los Angeles and trying to revitalize a very storied franchise. And that's kind of where I see this. So again, I know people get hung up on doom and gloom and super teams and they hate the whole thing. But again, just take a seat and back off. Because if you can sit back and take a look at everything, just take a look at everything, what could be next season. It's a lot of cool storylines. There's a lot of interesting conversations that could be happening in this league. You may not like the competitiveness, and it may be true, right? I mean, Golden State could be so dominant that it could be almost scary. And maybe Boston and Philadelphia don't even look as good coming down the road. Maybe injuries plague them. Maybe everyone in the East is struggling. I don't know. And it doesn't even come close to what whoever comes out of the West. I don't know. But still, I think the storyline is there. All right, Ron Culver joining alongside. Did you have a good 4th of July weekend?
Yeah.
A whole week?
Of course I did.
I mean, gosh, it's such a great holiday, isn't it? I love it. Barbecue and fireworks and just kind of chilling out in the summer.
Well, that was a little different for us because it rained. But
oh, did it? Because it didn't rain where I was. It was great.
It rained for most of the day, which was fine. Kind of, water the grass, if you will. And then by the time nighttime came around, it was fine.
By the way, I was asking this question. Maybe you can help me out with this. Because I was sitting there watching the fireworks with some neighbors. And I live in Nashville. And we were just kind of hanging out. And I said, how come in 2018, technology and fireworks hasn't gotten better? I feel like I'm watching the same thing that I've been watching for years and years and years. Isn't there a way we can make fireworks more interesting today with all the ability that we have? Or is fireworks just something that's standard? I feel like every time I watch a firework, it's like green, boom, yellow, boom, red, boom.
I think you're onto something, but I think it's for us who don't read the directions all the way. And for example, I bought some fireworks, just blasting them off in our backyard. And I didn't read the instructions all the way. And apparently with one of them, you
hold it in your hand?
No, I'm not going JPP on us. You're supposed to put it in a tube, right? They provide the tube. I thought it was just spacing in the packaging.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I grew up in an area, man, you did too, grew up in an area where we got CDs in gigantic boxes.
Right. Yeah.
So there, there's always this extra need for extra spacing that doesn't make any sense. So I put this firework, I just lit it on the ground, and it was one of those, I guess if you stick it in the tube, it lights, it fires straight up into the air, and then you look above you, and then boom, red, green, yellow, whatever.
Yeah, like
whatever.
A starburst.
Yeah, but I had that happen to us on the ground level.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, no damage, just had a duck and cover real quick.
Did they make you stop doing the fireworks? Or did you go, no, false alarm.
I'm in my backyard.
I scared everybody.
I'm in my backyard. No one's going to make me stop.
No, but your family didn't say, hey, Ron, we kind of like you around. Don't light any more fireworks.
It was just, I think it was my wife that first, said out loud. It was like, I don't think that was supposed to happen.
No, not at all.
So then I went back to the box. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with these? Not because I had six more.
So what did you do? Did you light
them? I found out that tube, was actually more decorative than I thought. And then, yeah,
right.
I figured it out.
Oh, very
and nice. Then it was nice. I mean, we just had, but yeah, I've had bought, you can buy these, like variety packs. Instead of buying them all individually, they package them all for, X amount of dollars and whatnot. And I bought this one variety pack, but every single firework was exactly the same, just in different boxes. Different ways they package it, different names. And that didn't make any sense to me.
Did you break out music, though? Sync it up to music?
Well.
Did you try anyway?
We had patriotic music playing in the background. I don't know if you can say I synced it up at all.
Well, I mean, it sounds fun. I don't light fireworks. I let other people do the dirty work for me. I just enjoy their shows.
But that's exactly what happened.
Fire them off. I don't light them, and I feel guilty. I feel like I should be part of the firework experience. I have a neighbor that lights them up. They go nuts. I used to sit in my hammock in the backyard, just watch them, and every now and then, like little specks of firework would land on me and whatnot. But it's not that I'm lazy. It's just like if people have a passion to light those up, let them light it up. I'll just enjoy the festivities.
No, the hardest part I had was actually buying the fireworks themselves. I mean, my kids were all excited about it, but there were times I sat there and got, these guys, they're worse than used car salesmen. I mean, this one guy was trying to sell.
Are they really? I've never bought fireworks. Really?
You just go up to the stand and they're asking you all these questions like, what do you want? I'm like, well, I want some that go up in the air. I like the ones that pop loud.
I want loud things that go in the air.
Exactly.
Just give me whatever you have.
And then he's like, then he's going to go, asking you questions like, do you want it to where you just light it once and then you just sit back and watch the show? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. He goes, well, I got a package for you. It's only $350. Like $350. He's like, how about if I just start burning $100 bills right now? Because that's essentially what I'm doing.
That's awesome. That
is
great.
I'm a guy who has issues buying trash bags because you're literally buying something to throw away.
I feel like this is an experience I got to have now. Go buy fireworks.
You got to do it.
Hey, son, come over here. Let me show
start
you.
Off
got,
slow.
Man.
Start off slow. Buy some sparklers.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. This will be my contribution to the fireworks extravaganza. There you sparklers.
You know, and then you transition to, you know, some little ground things where you can't get injured, and then you move on to what I did this year by giving your kids a Roman candle so they can feel like Harry Potter.
Ah, that's great. Man, I got to come down to Houston and hang out with you and see your fireworks display.
Well, just know, I mean, you might have to duck and cover. Shields are optional.
I hear that. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, coming up, what I watched this weekend still doesn't make sense to me. And it's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
This is Straight Heat with Patrick Creighton.
You want to know what brings on your CMS? Because we're trying to do research, figure out what are the most common triggers of CMS. Cursing maniac syndrome.
Were you the first case of that, or?
I wasn't the first case. Is CMS something that you suffer from alone, or does it come out more when you are surrounded by others? I suffer from it more when I'm either at home or here at work. I believe that you have seen examples of my CMS.
Oh, I've seen several examples.
Watching a game, I turn into a cursing maniac. And it doesn't matter if good things are happening or bad things are happening. I just become this cursing maniac and I can't stop. There are, in fact, other people. This is a legitimately diagnosed event.
Not really.
And, you know, I'm kind of a test case right now where they're trying to see what is it that sets me off the most.
Straight Heat with Patrick Creighton. Weeknights from 10 to 1 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. This is SB Nation Radio.
Every weekday from noon to 3 Eastern, tune into SB Nation Radio for live sports talk from Las Vegas. Get the Vegas angle on all sports from the NFL to the NBA on Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault. Follow Matt on Twitter at Sports Talk Matt.
Hi, this is Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and listen all the time at SBNationLive.com.
This is Pushing the Odds.
The Vegas Golden Knights became the big story that I wanted it to. This is a franchise that a year ago had nobody on their roster. Look what Gerard Gallant did. He gets picked up by the Golden Knights and he became an amazing addition. I mean, talk about an amazing coach to piece all these guys together, to build a locker room, to build chemistry, to get these guys to go and play well together. After the tragedy, the shooting at the concert here on October 1st, you had a team that was looking for leadership, and they found it. Like, where did that come from? How in the world did that go down that way? They created the greatest home ice advantage in the NHL in year one. But the Vegas Golden Knights, I cannot stress this enough for you hockey fans. Get here next year.
Tune in to Pushing the Odds, Monday through Friday from noon to 3 Eastern on SB Nation Radio.
Headed to Texas to watch your team play, but don't know where to go for that pregame drink? Visit culturemap.com for all of the hottest spots in Houston, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, and San Antonio. From the most popular bars to those favorite dine-in gems, Culture Map has it all. Then before you leave town, why not visit some of the best places to shop or see some of the sights? Culture Map has extensive coverage on all the things to do in the city you're in. So check out culturemap.com. That's culturemap.com.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Tony D.
All right, so I had this weekend where I had a family in town. I just moved into this house in Nashville, and I had people helping me kind of unload some stuff. So we had a good cookout, had some family and friends over, and it was on Saturday, and it was a lot of fun. But in the background, my television was on, and it was on the World Cup match between Russia and Croatia. And listen, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I respect the World Cup, okay? I'm not one of these soccer haters. Like, oh, get soccer, man. We're never going to like it. I'm actually blown away that we're not good at this. But nevertheless, I had the match on, and the match looked intense. It looked cool, but I wasn't 100% paying attention, okay? It wasn't like I had the sound up, and I was watching it, and I was taking notes and all that other stuff. But I could not figure out for the life of me who was who. I could not figure out which team was Russia and which team was Croatia the whole match. Now, I'd look up and the score would be tied. I'd look up and I'd miss a goal. I'd look, you know, I just did not know who was who. But what I did not understand, and maybe Ron, you can help me with this, is I did not understand. I get that they play 90 minutes and I get injury time. I get that they tack on extra minutes at the end of each half to kind of make up for injury time. I get that. But why is it that when they go into overtime, why isn't sudden death? Why isn't first goal wins? Why do they play 30 minutes plus injury time? Why don't they just call it a match?
Well, they used to have a thing called golden goal. And what golden goal was exactly what you described, you know, that you would see in hockey where once the team scores, the game is over, pandemonium ensues, and, you know, guys are running around with no shirts on. And then they kind of, then they've adopted a little other thing called silver goal where once at the end of regulation, you have two 15-minute overtime periods. And if you scored in, say, that first overtime period, you continued playing that half or that 15-minute period. And that was a silver goal. And if a team didn't score after that, then it was over.
So you're saying at the 15-minute mark of overtime, after 15 minutes, then it becomes golden goal?
Well, if a team had scored during that time, it was called silver goal.
Oh, okay, got it.
And golden goal was if you scored, you know, just like hockey, game over. They got rid of all of that ahead of the 2006 World Cup in Germany, just saying, you know what, we're going to play two 15-minute extra time periods. Essentially, it's almost like a fair play type of thing to give the other team a chance to come back. Kind of what the NFL is doing right now where, you know, where before if you kicked a field goal, game was over. But now if you kick a field goal, well, the other team gets a chance to drive down the field and try to either tie it with a field goal or score a touchdown.
Yeah, but in the NFL, the reason that they did that was because scoring a field goal seemed relatively easy for the team that had the first possession. It seems goals are so hard that if you get one in overtime, good for you, congratulations, you're moving on.
No, the idea behind it all is essentially the same thing, more advertising dollars.
I got it, okay.
That's what it is. That's the real reason. Now you have two 15-minute periods where you can sell those spots. People are going to be tuned in a little bit more, so that maybe the dollar amount for the spots will go up a little bit higher. Because now, you know, it's like, oh, if you hit, you know, Twitter especially, if Twitter's blowing up saying, hey, these two teams are heading into extra time, you might tune in now. Because now you have a condensed game. Like, even the non-soccer fan can get into it and say, it's a condensed game. One of these teams are going to win after the, you know, two 15-minute halves, or, you know, we'll get to see a shootout where everyone's happy because everyone's scoring.
Now, I will say I did figure out who was who by the time we got into overtime, and people at my get together, we were all starting to watch it in the extra frame. Here's what's fascinating about me in the World Cup. I've been saying this for years. All right, look, I have met so many people doing this for a living for over 20 years. I get it. There's some people that soccer is never going to be their thing. They never want it to be a thing here in the country. They want the rest of the world to love it, but they don't want to love it here. I get that. But we don't have anything, and I mean this, we don't have anything that we can root for together as a country than this. And don't give me the Olympics, because it's not true. Because the Olympics, some people like track and field, some people like different other events, they're on at different times. I'm talking about when the United States was in the World Cup and they were scheduled to play on a Wednesday afternoon at, say, 2 o'clock. Like, every single person in America from every city would gather around to watch it and cheer together. We don't get to do that because in our sports, it's, you know, it's like city versus city, like any, you know, like Premier League or anything else like that. But that's really all we have. So we don't get to do this. So I really miss that part. Like, I was watching when the Russian kids scored the tying goal in overtime, they are showing massive crowds. I mean, just massive crowds, and they're losing their minds.
Oh, the best ones are England scored.
Yeah.
And they're showing the bars. The amount of beer being wasted by throwing it into the air is awesome. Oh.
They're showing the stands, like, women are crying and they're hugging each other. I mean, people are going crazy, right? And we don't get to do that. Like, we get to do that in individual. Like, we watch the Super Bowl. You could say, oh, we have the Super Bowl. No, not really. How many of you watch the Super Bowl with no rooting interest at all, or watch the Super Bowl rooting against something? Like, I don't like Brady.
Or so you gain interest through the game going, you know what? I'm kind of starting to pull for this team now. I hope they can do it.
Right. That's what we do in the Super Bowl. We certainly do not dress up. All of us dress up in Eagles colors or Patriots colors like last Super Bowl and cheer together. We don't get to do that. So I'd like to see us do more of that. That's why I was kind of disappointed we're not in this thing. But the Russian kid, he heads the ball in and it ties the match. And everybody's losing their minds. Everybody's going crazy. He knows his country's on fire. They just tie the game. And then that poor kid in the shootout round, that poor kid hit one of the worst. He tries to kick it in the corner. It duffs off of his foot and dribbles away from the goal. And I thought, he just went from hero to goat in 10 minutes. Because missing that goal was one of the reasons that they didn't win the match, because Croatia got ahead of them and stayed ahead of them scoring. That poor kid went from, hey, listen, I'm never going to have to do anything in my life again. I just scored this incredible goal I can't even kick it to this gigantic net that's 10 feet in front of me.
Very true. And it's in Russia, so he might disappear.
He might, right?
He might just end up playing for a C-level team in Siberia.
This would be like hitting a game-winning shot in basketball with a potentially game-winning shot with 5 seconds left, and then, I don't know, calling timeout when you don't have any on the other end or something crazy. I mean, the ball hit the heel of his foot and just dribbled off to the side. Oh, how can you miss that? Listen, can you agree? At least give me this, because I said there should be no reason why every penalty kick should be on net. Right? Or am I wrong here?
No, you're absolutely right.
I don't mind it being blocked by a goalie or going in, but kicking it over the goal, missing the goal entirely, these are unacceptable for world class. But it's unacceptable for a world class player to miss that big of a target.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why when Alexei Lalas he actually took some heat from it when he said that it's skill, to take a penalty kick. And people are like, a lot of it's just luck. You put it on frame, your goalie guesses the wrong way, it's an easy goal. And it's like, no, exactly. It's skill to get it on frame every single time. The pressure is incredible because
The pressure's intense. You got to figure,
especially at this level. If you do it like in a regular tournament level or a regular season game level, if you make it, you make it, you miss. You know, no big deal. This is, the weight of your country is watching, which
yeah,
something here in America we just don't get yet.
No, we don't get. No, you're absolutely right. I can imagine your heart's pounding. You miss. It could be the reason you go home, like that poor kid who tied the game and then ended up losing it for his country a few minutes later. All right, I learned a little bit more than I wanted when it coming into this segment. So that was good. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Tony D.
Glad to be part of your morning here on SB Nation AM. I am Tony D, Ron Culver alongside. So we'll go back to LeBron for a second, because the week of... It was rather quiet. LeBron doesn't say anything. He goes to the Lakers a week ago. They announced he's going to the Lakers a week ago, and then he disappears. And there's no big hoopla, no letter, no big fanfare. It was rather a whisper. And then when you go back 8 years ago, and the decision, and you see the way LeBron is announcing these decisions, from this big production that he clearly wasn't really comfortable with, but ended up doing it anyway, to then writing this well choreographed letter about his return to Cleveland and all and the things that he wanted to do there, to now just a simple press release and then get out of the country and then just let it stew and let it fester and then see what else everybody else does. And what happened was Golden State got DeMarcus Cousins to sign for about $5 million, and now everyone's kind of buzzing about how they'll dominate the Western Conference. That's where we've gone. That's where we've gone in 8 years, to LeBron James being a television program, an actual television program with commercials and breaks and just an orchestrated production on announcing where he was going to be playing basketball, to a simple press release from his group and then disappearing off out of country to go on vacation. That's where we are in 8 years. Now, look, I find LeBron's trajectory amazing from just the PR standpoint. Forget the basketball standpoint, because we know that's excellent. He's really met every expectation that we've wanted. But just from a PR standpoint, his trajectory to what we saw a week ago is pretty remarkable. Because LeBron going from high school to the NBA, very hyped, right? I mean, I saw a tweet today that was that talked about his debut in the summer league when he got drafted in 2003, how the tickets were going for $80, like scalped for $80, so people could see this high school kid from Ohio play his first, technically his first NBA game with the Cavaliers in a summer league event in Orlando, right? So everybody, he's got all the attention. Everyone's focused on him. Everyone wants to know if he's going to live up to it, and he does, right? But then he becomes this villain. Just by this television show. Not so much going to form a team with Dwayne Wade and getting Chris Bosh to join side and going down to South Beach. I think if you're a smart guy and sort of can step away from your emotion for a second, you would say, yeah, why not, right? If you can do it, you can team up with your friends, you can put together a team that can win you some championships, and you get to play down in South Florida. How cool is that? But it bothered so many people. I mean, forget the people from Cleveland. I mean, it bothered a lot of people who just didn't like the optics of it. So the optics were all wrong. And so what happens? LeBron goes down there. He starts getting booed. And people just genuinely aren't liking him. They don't like this. They don't like this group. Like, early when they're struggling, people kind of cherishing it, saying, ah, ha, ha, ha. I told you. But we all knew it was going to work out. It was just too talented not to work out. But they get to the NBA Finals, they take on the Dallas Mavericks. And people are actively rooting for him to lose. That wasn't happening. People kind of wanted to see success from this guy who lived up to everything right out of the gate. But they didn't want him to win. They knew he was going to win, but what they wanted was not yet. It'd be kind of cool if you didn't win. It'd be kind of cool if you kind of had to eat it a little bit when you were talking about not one, not two, not three, not four. Yeah, if you just didn't get it the first year. All this talk about you running away and winning title after title after title. Man, it would be great if Dallas would win this. And they did. Now, LeBron really didn't like that. Because as a NBA superstar and a skilled marketer, that's not how that was supposed to work. His job, you were supposed to respect his desire to want to win. And win any way he can. So if that means I'm convincing another buddy to go to play for with another buddy down in Florida, that's, I got to win. It's all about winning. And isn't that what we're all about, right? But a lot of people said, but it's how you did it, and we don't like it. So LeBron's in Miami, and they go to four finals. He wins two. They lose two. He goes back to Cleveland, and this gigantic redemption story. Right? It's this huge redemption story. I got unfinished business. I'm going back. I'm going to make this right. Right. Not in so many words, but that feeling of I'm going to go back. Team has got Kyrie Irving. We can go get somebody else. We can do this. I can bring a title here because I know what it would mean if I did that. It's large. It would be larger in my mind to people I care about, and to people I love, than trying to get six somewhere to tie Michael or whatever other goal I want, right? This one would mean more than any other combination of championships I could win with other teams. That could be my legacy. My legacy will not just be great NBA player, one of the best all time, multiple NBA champion, multiple all-star, Olympic gold medals, all of those things we expect. But his legacy would then become, I delivered a championship to a city that had been ridiculed by people around the country as kind of a loser sports city. I'll be able to go back there and give them a parade that a lot of people thought they'd never see. If I could do that, you could talk about Michael winning six, going 6-0, or you could talk about how many MVPs so-and-so has or whatever. I'll have this. And it will mean more to me than anything else. That's why you see the stories that Cavaliers general manager, Colby Altman, saying he's hurt, but at the same time, grateful. That's why the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper said, promise kept. It's okay to go to L.A. now. You did what you told us you wanted to do. If you want to play for Los Angeles, because when you're 40 and 45 and you're out of the league, You don't get to play for Los Angeles. You don't get to play for the Lakers. It's one of the storied franchises in sports. Forget the NBA, sports. You get to do that. But on the flip side, and this is the one thing that I'm struggling with, is I kind of don't want LeBron James to be part here, part there, part here. I don't like that. I don't like that we're taking his career and dicing it up. Oh, Michael Jordan went to Washington, but we almost forget about that, right? Other athletes have played, like Peyton Manning has a portion of his career in Indianapolis, then this neck injury, and he resurrects it in Denver. But LeBron, he's played for three, he's going to play for three teams, but it's like he's played for four. Right? Cleveland draft. Drags them kicking and screaming to the NBA Finals. Realizes this is what he's going to have to do, and he doesn't like that. There's a better way to do this. Goes to Miami. They go to the finals, win two, lose two. It doesn't quite work out. The dynasty doesn't quite happen. There's starting to be some tension. I can go back to Cleveland. The second Cleveland, while it's the same franchise, it's a different scenario. It's a different team. Same uniform, but different you know, situation. And now he's going to Los Angeles. I don't like that he's cut up like this in terms of these segments of time. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Oh, the LeBron when he was that young kid and he was all they had? Or do you talking about the LeBron that was kind of the villain and everybody didn't like him? Or do you like the Redeemer LeBron that went back and kind of did what he said he was going to do and gave them a parade? Or do you want this L.A. LeBron that just always wanted to live there, always wanted to work there, always wanted to play for this organization? The legacy of LeBron is going to be cement. This is not going to affect that at all. I don't think people are going to look at his career and say, well, it was fantastic, but he just playing for three teams really just takes away from it. If you say that, there's probably an underlying something that you don't like about him and you're just using this as an excuse, because I can't imagine it being a big excuse. But there is something about this that it just doesn't feel right. But if there's anybody that deserves to go anywhere he wants for whatever reason he wants, now, 8 years after that same sentiment was met with anger and disgust as the way he kicked that city in the face, it's LeBron. 8 years ago, you could have made that same statement, right? He deserves to go anywhere he wants for whatever reason he wants with whoever he wants. This is America. If I can do it, he can do it. But we didn't like when he did it 8 years ago because it was not done right. You tell the city, you tell the people, you tell the owner, you tell the GM, you tell the people involved, you do not orchestrate a television show, even if all of your people that surround you is telling you that this is a great idea, because it isn't a good idea. It wasn't a good idea. It was a terrible idea. But you can make up for it 6 years later when you win a championship back in that city. That's what he did. And that's what he did. But it was quick. I will say, it was so quick how Golden State was like, nah, hold on 1 second. I got this. DeMarcus Cousins, 5 years. Oh, we got a bunch of all-stars now. Could have five on the court at the same time. That's how quick that changed. That LeBron story should have been a dissected story for the whole week, if not for the fact that more people were lamenting the demise of the league because of what Golden State was able to do. And you know what? That might not work out, right? We love to play video game sports, right? Where the people are, you know, assigned some sort of algorithm that it's supposed to work. Like if you're a Madden player and you're a 99, that's the way it's going to work when you stick it in the video game. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins could be, they don't like him. He doesn't fit well. It doesn't work with the system. He struggles a bit. They don't get along. I mean, who knows? Chemistry doesn't work out. Who knows? I mean, let's not forget. I mean, before we start, I mean, let's not forget. The Rockets were, again, a Chris Paul hamstring injury away from probably eliminating them and going to the NBA Finals and winning the title themselves. So So I'm not ready to just throw the baby out with the bathwater because of these moves during free agency. Let's just shake it out. Let's shake it out and see how it all plays out. Because one of the things I do know is sometimes it doesn't work out like you think it does. And sometimes when it doesn't work out, it leads to more interesting things. For example, just like what I was saying before, right? The Miami Heat things, we're going to win 6-7 titles in a row. No, they didn't. They won 2 out of 4. And in 2 of them looked bad. The last ones especially looked awful against San Antonio. So it doesn't always pan out. It doesn't always work out the way we project. I think this could have some legs. I think this could have not only some legs, I think this could be a fun Western Conference where every night could be a different angles. All right, hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. All right, coming up next, another a fun thing yesterday that really was nostalgic that made me kind of go, yeah, you know what? I would never in my life do that, but I certainly respect the people that do. That's next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Tony D.
Hey, I may not have time to get it in this one, but I may have to do it later. But did you see the Travis Pastrana jump there, Ron?
No, but I've been reading about it.
Oh, come on. That's unbelievable. It's the jump that almost killed Evel Knievel. Now, I don't know anything about that motorcycles, but he was driving an Indian Scout FTR 750 with a V-twin engine. Now, I think this is close to the same bike that Evel Knievel rode when he tried to jump the fountains at Caesar's Palace. And he cleared it. God bless him. That was fantastic. You know Evel Knievel, when he would jump and then he would crash, he'd break like 25 bones in his body, he'd end up in a coma, and then he'd get out of it and he would get heal up and then he would go right back on the motorcycle and jump over something else again. If I did that, I would stop. If I broke a pinky, I'd be like, sorry, that's it, my jumping career is over.
Yeah, once you fall off, you got to get back on the bike again.
No chance. I've seen Evel Knievel fall, twist and turn, and bodies falling apart, falls down the ramp, twist and turn, ends up on his back. Now, I know when Evel Knievel was making these jumps, they had engineers that would, hey, like, go at this speed, this ramp should equal this, and, you know, like they do today. Pastrana, that was incredible. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now, so.
It's remarkable.
Maybe it's because he did it in the daytime.
Well, you think he should have done it at night?
I think it gets a little bit hairier at night, doesn't it?
Just a little, like some spotlights or maybe some, maybe just a headlight on his bike. Doesn't know where he's going.
Next time, I think all the lights just need to be off and you just need to have a lighted bike.
Yeah. I hate to admit this, but I kind of thought in 2018, I kind of thought we were done with this kind of stuff. I didn't know this was still a thing. Like jumping over crushed cars or fountains.
Well, because that seems so minor now compared to, these YouTube guys who are just walking along the top of a building.
Oh, yeah.
Or jumping, parkour.
I think
happening.
If I brought my kids and said, hey, take a look at this jump, they'd be like, all right, whatever. Let me show you a guy dangling by his fingernails off top of a cliff. But I got to give Travis Pastrana a lot of credit here, man. See, I grew up with Evel Knievel, man. I grew up with, I was a kid, I had the Evel Knievel toy, like, you put the motorcycle in the thing, and you cranked it up, and you let it go, and it was supposed to do something.
The one that had sparks flying out of it?
Yeah, exactly. You just cranked it up really cool. And, I mean, listen, so I kind of knew Evel Knievel as a kid. I knew he was a daredevil. He had lunchboxes. He had all that stuff. So, to me, this is a little nostalgic. And I thought it was cool. He jumped over the famous Caesar's Palace fountain jump. It was 143 feet plus. He did it 23 feet further than Knievel did back in 1973 without all the broken bones and being in a coma for 20 days. Good luck. Good for Travis Pastrana. God bless America. All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll talk a little bit more about the World Cup and why the United States is not in this and what they can do to get in this. More from NBA. It's all coming up. SB Nation AM.